Thank you, Bob. It's good to be here this morning. Good to see all your smiling faces out there, and want to welcome you, and it's good to be a part of the Church of Christ. Thankful for your prayers for me, and I was blessed last week to be able to come, and as you know, Sue and I haven't been attending regularly because we've been doing things live streaming because of the pandemic. But last week, we were able to come and partake of the sacrament service and hear the prayers and the testimonies of our brothers and sisters. And I was strengthened by them. I want to thank each one of you that participated. I'd like to greet those that are watching us and live streaming and any guests that we might have here today. Welcome to the Church of Christ. As Bob stated, I started preparing for the sermon, and I stopped a couple times and had quite a few scriptures down, but then I was led another way. In fact, I put the notes on my computer, and my first one had the sermon tempo at today's date. Then I had to change it, and I changed it to a corrected sermon tempo lot. And then I didn't like that, so I put an updated one. So we're going to have the updated, not two. But I felt like the Lord gave me a message for each of us, young and old, members and non-members. Some of it you might know, I hope you do. Some you might not. Some you might be rehearsal of what you might already know and believe. Some will be a challenge. In fact, it'll be a challenge to all, me included. It's estimated that there's over 3,000 churches in the world, all teaching different beliefs, having different names, having different practices, beliefs, and structures. But Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. It's important to remember this and to understand the scriptures, and it's important for our eternal life. John 14 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, then ye may be also. And whether I go in the way, and whither I go, you know, in the way you know. A promise of Jesus Christ. I go to prepare a place for you. The Lord has promised us that he has prepared a place for each one of us in eternity. What a wonderful blessing. Well, just to think about it. It's beyond our comprehension, but it's our hope and our desire. In Jeremiah 31, it says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. For after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their inner parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive them their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun of the light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. We have that confident expectation, that joy or that assurance of a future good. Just as, you know, Enos talked about when he went into the woods in the Book of Mormon, went into the woods to pray, And he remembered the joy that his parents had been taught by his father, the things of the gospel. And he remembered the joy that his father had in the, for the saints had. And that's what we're to have, that joy, that reassurance that there's something beyond this life. As we read the scriptures, we find that Christ built his church. It was both a physical and a spiritual entity, built by his example and his commandments as given in the scriptures. Matthew 16 says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, we read in Acts in the day of Pentecost in the second chapter that Peter stood up and he spoke and he told everybody. They wanted to know what they needed to do, and he said, repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And there were 3,000 people added to the church that day. Boy, I'd love to have been there. That church was called the Church of Christ. Romans 16 says, salute another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. You know, the church, Paul is telling the Romans that the various churches of Christ send their greetings. At that time, it consisted of several different congregations, but they were all the same church. In the book of Ephesians, it says, and starting in verse 1, chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but unto every one is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. One Lord, one Jesus Christ, that gave his life for us, that we might live. One set of beliefs or one faith. We're mentioned, a few of them are mentioned in Hebrews, in the sixth chapter, and it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go out on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the scriptures say, and I think I use it one, you know, later on, but, you know, they did, their meetings were held as the Holy Spirit directed them. We all witnessed that today when there was need in the congregation, and we stopped and administered to a couple people. We were, you also witnessed the laying on of hands for healing. And so we have those blessings in the Church of Christ, just as in the church of old. It says one baptism. The scriptures tell us to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins by immersion in water, to get the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's to be done by one that was called of God, as was Aaron. Hebrews 5:4 says, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he is called of God, as was Aaron. We understand when we read the scripture that God told Moses that he was to call his brother Aaron as the high priest. So each of our ministry are called of God. You know, we don't go to theological schools. We don't decide ourselves if we're going to be a preacher. We don't believe in that. We believe that the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ teaches us all things. We don't have doctorate degrees or degrees and whatever. You know, most of us never expected to be called of God, but he did. But Paul said in Galatians, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel that was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And that promises to each of us that take on this responsibility. God is faithful. He's always with us. In Mark it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." You know, of course, many of us here have been baptized. Many of us have not. And I want to say, think about what this says. You know, some say all you have to do is believe to be saved. But the scriptures say the devil believes and trembles. There's something more that we have to do. So I looked up a definition of believes. And is to live as Jesus is the Son of God and the Lord of your life. To place our faith and trust and follow his example. Not only do we believe in him, but believe him in the words that have been preserved in the Holy Scriptures. The truth, the absolute truths in life. So I'd like you to, I want to read out of Mark 13:13. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure the end, the same shall be saved." You know, we read the scriptures, we get an understanding, we're going to have trials in our life. We're going to be tempted, we're going to have difficulty, there's going to be people that abuse us, whatever. But the Lord is faithful. He'll always be with us. This is, you know, the day that he's given us to come unto him. And the good shepherd, he calls us and says, come. I'm going to read from Moroni in the 10th chapter, which was one of the last books. It is the last book of the Book of Mormon. "They come unto Christ and be perfected in him. And deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you. For by his grace shall you be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are imperfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God." We, the Church of Christ, believe the gospel is taught in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is an additional witness of Jesus Christ. It's understanding, and as you read the scriptures, that all things will be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so we have that additional witness. We have these two books that witness of each other, that talk of each other. The purpose of the Book of Mormon within its pages is to show us that the Bible is true, that these things happened, and they not only happened in Galilee, but they happened in America. And they and it talks that Christ in his promise was going, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, going to the four to all the tribes of Israel. In John 10, it says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Just as it said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, recorded in two records. Some think that the other sheep were the Gentiles. But Jesus said in Matthew 15:24, but he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was only to go to the house of Israel. Jeremiah 31 says, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattereth Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Israel was to be scattered through the four quarters, but the Lord would call his people together again in the future. In John 21, 25, it says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, that which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books which shall be written. Amen. Book of Mormon explains to us that Jesus came here among the Americas to the descendants of Joseph that was sold into Egypt by his brethren, and he preached to them, and he told them that he was going to also go to all the other 12 tribes that had been scattered. And there's other records that will come in the future, all teaching the same thing, as those tribes and the tribe of Joseph and Judah, as their holy men of old, were inspired by the Holy Ghost to write those things down and to preserve them for us. That's what we have. I find that a wonderful blessing. I'm thankful that we have that additional witness. I could never believe that Christ only came to those in Galilee. You know, that he's not a respecter of person. He went to a whole house of Israel. I don't know how we can believe in God and not understand that he would want all his people to hear his word. In Matthew 7:12, it says, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in that strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, that strait and narrow gate was a narrow passageway that left to safety. They understood that in biblical times. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raging wolves. You know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs or of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And he goes on and he says, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. In verse 23, it says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those that saying that they were doing and following the words of Jesus Christ, but had their own beliefs, doctrines, and systems. Therefore, whosoever hearing these sayings of mine and doeth him, I will liken him unto a wise man which has built his house upon a rock, that rock of Jesus Christ. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, but it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So here we are, where we make the statement that we're the Church of Christ on earth. You know, we have congregations throughout the states. We have congregation in Canada. We have congregations around the world. We have live streaming availability in most of those places in this country. We've been blessed, and we have the desire to spread the gospel message throughout the nations. But we have some responsibilities as members of the Church of Christ. In 1 Peter 3 and 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're to be ready. Sanctify the God in our hearts, and always and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're to be ready for those that we know and walk or live with or go to school with or whatever we do, to give an answer of the hope that we have in the teachings of Jesus Christ. We're to be prepared. We're to look for the opportunity. We're to have a desire to diligently be an example to others, that they might ask us, what is it that we have the hope? What church do you go to? What is your blessing? We're to be ready for that. Are we ready? In Matthew 22, Matthew 22, starting in the 36th verse, it says, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We're to love with heart, mind, and soul. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Put the Lord first in our life. Put our neighbor before ourselves. In his needs. We're to be concerned by others. We're to place our complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We read in Helaman 2, and I'm sorry I don't have the page numbers, but it's verse 31. I'm only going to read one. One of the writers of the Book of Mormon. says, nevertheless, they did fast and pray and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility and firmer in the faith of Christ until the filling their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification came because they're yielding their hearts to God. That's instructions for us. I'm going to reread it. They did fast and pray always, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in their faith in Christ, unto the fulfilling their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to their purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because they're yielding their hearts unto God. We're to fast and pray. In Moroni 6 on page 762 it says, and none were received unto baptism, so they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him unto the end. And after that they had been received unto baptism and wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And the church did meet oft to fast and to pray, and to speak one another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And they were strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among them. And whoso was found to commit iniquity, and three witnesses of the church did condemn them before the elders, and they were strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among, And if they repented not and confused not, then their names were blotted out, and they were not numbered among the people of Christ. But as oft as they repented and sought forgiveness with real intent, they were forgiven. And their meetings were conducted by the church after the manners of the working of the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them whether to preach or to exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done. We make attempt to allow the Holy Ghost to direct us in our thoughts, in our preparations for each of our services, in our preparations as ministers to prepare for a sermon. We're not like other churches that have predetermined theories or themes that we're going to be taught every month by some central authority. But we count on the Holy Spirit. We count on the Holy Spirit to teach us by the revelation of Jesus Christ and by to guide and direct us in our services. We're to spend time in the Scriptures. That's our duty, to have an understanding. First, 2 Timothy 2 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So here we have an instruction from God for each one of us, for a member of the church or not. We are to study the Scriptures. We're to recognize that Jesus built his church, he never changes, and the way to eternal life is already prepared for us. We're to have a purpose so that we can be ready if someone asks us why we have the hope that we do. that we can give them scriptural references, that we can teach them about Jesus Christ. Members of the church, we're told them tithe. If you haven't, please start. You know, Malachi gives us a challenge in Malachi 3 in the 10th verse. Bring ye all the tithes to the storehouse, that they may meet in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should be no room enough to receive it. He challenges us. It's a free will offering. The blessing is in the gift. Some churches keep track of it, or they have a pledge that you make and everything. We don't do it. Nobody knows what everybody else gives. But the blessing is ours for the giving. You haven't done it, I strongly encourage you to do it. We're to follow the example of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read from one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Nephi 13. I believe it's on page 162. Wherefore do the things that I have told you, I have seen that your Lord and Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that you might know the gate by which you should enter. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are you in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, have you entered in by the gate, and have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. Ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses the Father and Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if you enter in by the way, you should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that you have gotten into that straight and narrow pass, what I would ask is all done. So we're getting this invitation here to come unto Christ and be baptized by one having the authority of him. And I beseech thee, those that haven't, to search the scriptures and see if the things that we said today are not true. And allow yourself to be led by his Holy Spirit. Young and old, if you've been baptized in another church or you haven't been baptized, this is our time. This is the first day of the rest of our lives. Time to make a decision. But he says it's all done. Now he's talking to all of us that have already been baptized. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and of love of God and of all men. You know, we're going to be trials. There's going to be forces that work against us, but we've got to be steadfast. We've got to continue on that path with a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and all men. It says, wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. You want eternal life? Press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end. Behold, thus saith the Father. You know, we believe that you have to endure to the end. We don't believe in the doctrine of the rapture. We don't believe in the doctrine of once saved, always saved. We believe we must continue to feast upon the words of Christ and allow them to direct us in our life, repent of our sins daily, fast and pray, and endure. and God is faithful. Goes on and says, and now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there's none other way nor name given under heaven whereby a man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. We're to spend time in the scriptures. We're to fast and to pray. We're to humble ourselves, even down to the depths of humility. 1 Peter 1:5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Goes on, he tells, humble yourselves. Give all our cares upon him, for he careth for us. But he goes on and he says here, be sober, be diligent, be diligent, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom you may devour. We've got to be diligent in our efforts to serve him and to humble ourselves. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that they are in the world. But the God of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Book of Alma in the 19th chapter in verse 71. Now the decrees of God are unalterable, unchangeable. Therefore the way is prepared that whosoever may walk therein and be saved. We have to have the will, we have to be diligent, we have to be conscious each day of our life of the need to serve our Heavenly Father and to do his will in our life. We have to have a purpose. We have to set ourselves priorities. We have to, if there's any of us here that are thinking about baptism, talk to the pastor, talk to your Sunday school teacher, talk to your parents. We teach classes, baptism classes on Zoom. There's several going on. We're teaching classes around the world. We encourage you to ask questions. We're encouraging to write into the church and ask questions. I'll be answered. We're here to serve. I want to read from James in the first chapter. Starting with verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he begot us with the word of truth, and we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. For if you will be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Doesn't do any good. For behold, he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth the manner of man he was. But look into the perfect law of liberty, and continue there, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself spotted from the world. We're to be doers. We're to be active. We're to use our talents and our times and our money to serve the Lord. We're to study the scriptures and be prepared. We're to be ready to give an answer what it is we believe and why. And the Lord will bless us because he's faithful. He'll direct us in our life. He'll correct us. He'll admonish us. He'll strengthen us both physically and spiritually. But we have to come unto him to be perfected and allow him to direct us. Scriptures say that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That means we can't be idle. That means we have to be diligent, that we have to continually seek him, asking for forgiveness, but allowing his spirit to direct us. May God bless each of us in our journey to the end and enduring. Thank you.